to you. His peace and his mercy be yours in abundance. I'll start, you finish, okay? You're going to have to participate. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster. Yeah. Mr. Grinch. You may have seen quite a bit of Mr. Grinch around here these days, around the holiday season. And it would seem from his appearance that he is all ready for Christmas. He wears a Santa hat. He has dressed up his dog like a reindeer. He certainly loves presents. He loves them enough to steal them from all the Whos down in Whosville, right? But we know the next line of the song, that his heart's an empty hole. And his heart is not ready for Christmas. The book says that the problem with the Grinch is that his heart was two sizes too small. And so the rest of the story is about how the Grinch can have a change of heart on the last possible moment before Christmas comes. That is something that we should consider. Dr. Seuss may have been onto something when he wrote that story, because just like us, no matter how much it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, our most important preparation will happen in our hearts. And if our hearts are wrong or too small or not ready for Jesus, then we're not ready for Christmas. And so tonight we're going to look at Psalm 119 and how it prepares us for Christmas. And we're going to look at this ancient and foreign way of preparing your heart called meditation. And when we do that, we're going to ask ourselves three different questions and answer those questions today. First, what is meditation? Second of all, why would we want to meditate anyway? Especially, why would we want to meditate leading up to Christmas? And third, how do we do it? How do we meditate if that's what we're doing? So first, a question is, what is meditation? And it's kind of like reading God's word, except it's more. If I gave you two sentences of scripture, you could read that in probably about 20 seconds. But you could meditate on that for 5 minutes or a half hour or longer. Because meditation isn't just reading God's word. There's actually four steps to meditation. So the first thing you got to have if you're going to meditate is you got to hear God's word. Hearing God's word. The psalm said, I seek you with all my heart, because meditating is not like the rest of our reading and our thinking. See, throughout the day, my brain is swirling with all sorts of ideas, ideas about who I am, ideas about who you are, ideas about how this world works. But when I meditate on God's word, I push pause on my ideas, and I need to hear from the outside what God thinks about me, what God thinks about you, and what God thinks about the way this world works. There's no way I can know what God thinks except for if I listen to his word. And so the first step is hearing God's word. I need to hear it from outside of me, because I would never come up with some of the stuff God wrote in the Bible. I would never come up with the Ten Commandments or the forgiveness of sins or Jesus. I need to hear God from the outside, like a person whose heart has stopped needs somebody from the outside of them to come shock them with an AED or a defibrillator and jolt their heart so they can come back to life. And so the first step of meditating is to hear from outside of our heads God's word. The second step to hearing God's word is to implant God's word. The psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart. And so if hearing God's word gets it into your ear and maybe into your head, implanting it means you drive it down into your heart where it will stick. Implanting God's word means maybe you memorize a Bible passage so that it's always with you. You know, if somebody's heart doesn't just stop one time, but if they have a continual problem where their heart is out of rhythm a lot, what will the doctor do? Implant a pacemaker in there so that no matter where they go, no matter what they're doing, if their heart breaks down, it can be shocked and jolted back into rhythm. And memorizing God's word does the same for you. It puts you in a situation where no matter what happens to you, no matter how bad a day is or what situation you are, even if you can't open your Bible app, you have God's word always ready to reset your heart when you need it most. Marge knew that. Marge implanted God's word in her. I met Marge when I was 24. She was 86. We were an odd couple. She lived in a condo with antiques worth more than my car. I lived in a bachelor's apartment with more Post-it notes than artwork on the walls. We were both living alone on opposite ends of happy marriages. And one day she invited me over for tea. And so I went over to Marge's house after church, and we had fancy tea, and I looked at her fancy pictures and her fancy artwork and her fancy coffee table, and everything was fancy except for one thing. There was an old King James Bible on the coffee table. And so being a Bible nerd, I said, "Marge, tell me about your Bible. This is the most interesting thing in the room to me." And you know what she said? She said, "Every day I read a little bit, and I always try to memorize a sentence or two." I did some quick math. Okay, 86 years, sentence a day. "Marge, you must have pretty much the whole thing memorized." She said, "No, I often forget the passages, but for that day, they're amazing, and the best ones never leave." Turns out that Marge had Bible passages memorized, these beautiful promises from God, passages that I barely remember hearing, because she had implanted God's word in her heart. The third step in meditating is delight. Delighting in God's word. Delight is when you find joy in something. So most people in this room probably don't delight in kidney beans as much as they do in chocolate cake, right? The psalmist said, "I delight in your decrees." To find joy in God's word means that it doesn't really do us any good if it goes in our ears. It doesn't even really do us any good if we have it memorized, if we don't see why it gives joy to the world, why it's good news. And this psalm writer who wrote this passage, he lived before Jesus was ever born, thousands of years before Jesus was ever born. So his Bible that he was reading before he wrote this was all the Old Testament and all the laws about what to eat and what you could wear and where to live. But he found delight in them because he knew that every law, even if he couldn't keep it, the promised Messiah would. And every character in that old Bible, they were there to set up the story for when the Messiah would come. He knew that every story in his Old Testament Bible was preparing for Jesus, and so he could find delight in God's laws. Because the pressure was off, he didn't need to keep them. Messiah would. But we live on the other side of Bethlehem, don't we? We live this side of Jesus coming in a manger. And so you do know his name, and you do know that he lived a perfect life for you, and he died on the cross for you, and he came back from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven to rule the world for you. And you can see in HD, in 4K television style, how all those Old Testament prophecies were perfectly kept by Jesus of Nazareth. And now you can read the New Testament and all those passages that describe all he's done for us. You will find delight in God's word to the extent that you're able to connect every verse you read to Jesus. All those old ones preparing the way, all those new ones showing us how. I one time heard a pastor describe every person who reads the Bible and tries to meditate on it goes through three phases. First, the Bible's like medicine to you. You have a bad day or something goes wrong and you go looking for the right passage to, like, the pill to solve your problem. But after a while, you grow up out of that medicine stage and you treat the Bible like food. You have it for your daily lunch or dinner once a day. But after a little while, it becomes more like dessert. where it doesn't really matter if you're hungry or not, you could always go for dessert, right? As you see Jesus in all the verses of the Bible, may you find delight and always be hungry for it. But there's one more part of meditation. The last part is kind of weird. It's that echo, that God's word would echo. The psalmist said, "With my lips I recount the laws. If you shout into a cave, you will hear coming back at you the echo, echo, echo." And the psalmist would hear those words of God over and over again as he repeated them with his lips. Maybe at first the way we hear it repeated is we read it and we're mumbling the words to ourselves as we read. One of the Hebrew words for meditate is just to mumble as you're quietly reading it to yourself. And then after a while, maybe you are repeating it a little more loudly to someone else, sharing God's word, sharing the delight you found in Jesus with other people. But then you'll see God's word echo in your life in yet a third way. As God's word touches every part of your life. And so you have a bad day, but you have hope in Jesus. You have a good day, so you give thanks to Jesus. You have a December day, so you use it to prepare your heart for Jesus coming at Christmas. And you see these Bible passages echoing in every aspect of your life. That echoing is the last part of meditating on God's word. So that's what it is. You hear, implant, delight, and echo God's word. You hear that word repeating the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy of Jesus. And so it makes the word hide, which is exactly what the psalmist tells us we should do with God's word. He says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." To meditate on God's word is nothing more than to hide them in your heart and let it overflow. But that makes us wonder, why meditate at all, right? That's what it is, but why do it? Well, that's maybe the wrong question, because actually, we can't help it. Everybody's meditating on something. If meditating is just whatever's hiding in your heart, whatever repeats itself in your mind and in your actions, then we're all meditating on something. So when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that runs through your head? When you lay in bed at night, what's the thing that keeps repeating, repeating in your mind? When you interact with others, what's the thing that comes out of your mouth more than once a day? What are you meditating on? If you're anything like me, it probably has a lot to do with yourself. That I meditate most on what I have done in the past, whether it's good or bad. Or I'm meditating on all the things I have to do today, or all the things I've failed to do, or I know I'll fail to do today. And if that's you, then maybe you've felt what the Grinch felt, that his heart was an empty hole, that his heart was a little too small. Maybe you realize that I have more in common with the Grinch than I'd like to admit if my meditation is all about me. But if you're feeling a vacancy in your heart, a little hole there, you're actually in a pretty good spot. Because I heard a hymn one time that said, "Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him a little room." So what would happen if Jesus moved into the vacancy in your heart? What would happen if God filled the hole in your heart by hiding his word in there? What would happen if instead of waking up to a list of to-dos, instead of reflecting on a list of failed to-dos, you heard meditating in your heart the cry of Jesus from the cross, "It is finished." And you knew that everything you need to do to please God has been done for 2,000 years. That's why we meditate on God's word. Because it gets us ready for Christmas. It gets us ready for Jesus. So how do you do it? How do you meditate? Well, there's lots of ways to do it. I'm going to show you one right now. A way to take a Bible verse that would take you, I timed it, 26 seconds to read, but we're going to take 5 minutes to meditate on it. It's not the only way to do it. This is not the only way to meditate on God's word, but it's super simple. You can do it tonight. In fact, later I'm going to ask you to do it tonight, and we're going to do it right now, okay? So first, step one, hear God's word. Here's a Bible passage. It's from the book of Philippians. It took me 26 seconds to read it, but we're going to take longer to meditate. Let's read it now together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that didn't take us long to read, but if I said that we could meditate on this for 5 minutes, you may be wondering, what do I do with the next 4 minutes and 40 seconds? Start with this. Ask yourself this question. In my words, what does this say? I'll give you 20 seconds to think about it. I'm going to ask you to turn to someone sitting near you and share one thought in your own words about what that says. Wrap up your conversation. I want you to read it again just to yourself. Read it quickly over once more. Now ask yourself this question. What in this verse shows me God's love? This is the good news part. What is good from God in this verse? Take 10 seconds and find something. I'm not going to have you share that, but I hope you found something that God has given us in this. Maybe it's the prayer that we can come to our God in prayer. Maybe it's the peace of God that is with you that calms your heart. Maybe it's just rejoice in the Lord. There's lots of options. Read the passage over once more in your head. And ask yourself this question now. There's three ways of asking the same question. What does this tell me to do that I failed to do? What does it tell me not to do, but I've done it? For what do I owe God an apology? This is the bad news part. Take a few minutes to reflect on that. I'm not going to have you share it with your neighbor. Finally, I'm going to ask you to read it over one more time. Last time, last question. Now ask yourself this question. What can I ask God to give me based on this verse? Or how could God help me? Come up with one thing and offer a prayer to your God asking him for that. There you go. It took us 26 seconds to read the verse, and we've now successfully meditated for about 4 or 5 minutes. That's what meditating on God's word looks like, and that's what meditating on God's word can do for you. It can show you what's in God's word and delight you by seeing Jesus and echo throughout your life. I hope it does that for you. Now, if you have a plan for meditating on God's word for the rest of December until we get to Christmas, then awesome. Keep doing it. I'm so happy. But I think it'd be fun if we all meditated on the same verses. And so what I've done is prepared 7 verses like this and questions to go with them. And I've printed them on one sheet of paper, and they are on every table in the atrium right now. On your way home, on your way out the door, grab one of those sheets, and for the next 7 days, let's meditate on the same promises from our Savior and offer him prayers based on the same passage. And then when we come back here next week, we'll know a little more about God's word from our meditation, and I'll have another sheet ready for you next week. Do you remember how the story of the Grinch ends? It goes like this. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. That's supposed to be a testimony to the Christmas spirit. Friends, take my word, take God's word for it, that his word is much more powerful than the Christmas spirit. In fact, his word is so powerful that the peace of God transcends all understanding, and it will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. It's God's promise to you. Amen. We'll continue by